I'll tell you. The thing is, ultimately, I don't have an answer. Nobody has an answer. Anyone who tells you doesn't know what they're talking about. But we know that when the world was created, Hashem created Adam, created the world, created the whole story. You know the story, then created Adam and Chava. A few minutes before Shabbat came in, 18 minutes before Shabbat came in, came the Nachash, rang the doorbell on Gan Eden, and started the problems. Now, when we're looking at this Nachash, the snake, we're not looking at this little spaghetti going into the garden. That's not the Nachash. The Pori tells that he wasn't allowed to come in. So he started tempting Chava. He was standing outside, started singing her love songs. Amor, Amor. That's what he did. He was standing outside, singing, tempting to Chava to come out, because she didn't want to come out. And he knew that he will be able to convince her to open the door. He told her, just open the door, I just want to check in to see what's going on here. The point is that the Nachash came into the Garden of Eden, Le Gan Eden, Erev Shabbat, because he didn't like that there's a party and he's not invited. And up until today, Erev Shabbat, he comes back and he knocks on the door. Because he is not happy that you are having a party. Now again, the Nachash is not a spaghetti coming in. This is the Yetzer Hara that is not invited to the party, because there's no Yetzer Hara on Shabbat. All the worlds get elevated. He's left behind. He's not happy. So he's going to come to push your button where you the most go crazy.
My husband.
Does you... What I'm saying the household. Ultimately, Chiri, yeah, people will give you an answer that maybe during the week somebody did something wrong, that there's something ish pagam in the Shabbat. Somebody will come and tell you, okay, you know, the preparation for Shabbat, maybe something is not kosher. There's so many different answers why Hezberim. The ultimate answer that I can give you, and it's not 100% the answer, is that the Yetzer Hara wants to get you out of your kelim, to see how you're going to react. You, I'm not saying you, your husband, doesn't matter. And this is the Nisayon from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you accept, that's what I said before about the free choice. If you accept that it happened from Hashem, and you still accept it with a smile, or you complain, and you curse, and you kick things, and you push things away, and you scream at everybody, and you go to the shul, and you don't pray because you're upset, and you slam the sidur on the table, that is the test. This is the Nachash coming and saying, let me in! I want to be in the party, and if I can't be in the party, you're not going to be in the party. This is the ultimate nisayon. That's why on Erev Shabbat, the husbands have to go to shul, because that's when the fights start. So the husbands are advised, go, just go, sit with your buddies, just get out of the house. We don't need another one here. The point is that every Erev Shabbat, it has nothing to do. Yes, I said before that one needs to do cheshbon nefesh and to analyze what's going on. Because maybe there is something that I'm doing wrong. But ultimately, if you can find a physical explanation why it's happening, this is a nisayon from the Kadosh Baruch Hu to see how much patience and how much you can hold you, I'm saying, not you, anyone, their anger. Because if a person just lets go, the spark ignites, the chain reaction is devastating. Person will start screaming, yelling, fighting, pushing. The person is not going to go to shul. You know how many people I know, they don't go to shul because now they're all upset. They totally went out of their kli.
But how can you fix it? You said to clean, okay, so I don't have patience. I know that.
The cleaning is a completely different thing.
Because you said to clean until Pesach. Okay, so I know patience. Oh. Patience, it's not my...
So you have to work on it. You have to work on it. Any machshava zara that comes to the person is not his thought. That's why it's called machshava zara. Foreign. The Baal Shem Tov explains that there are two chambers in Shamayim. Chambers of purity and chambers of impurity. Hechalot Tuma and Hechalot Kedusha. And to understand it in our terminology, same way that a person in the hospital sits and he has an IV here and an IV here. One goes to the right hand, one goes to the left hand. In the IV, there's vitamins and minerals and whatever he needs. Whatever you're going to put in the bag will penetrate into the body. You put vitamins will go into the body. You put poison, the poison will go into the body. The same way there are these chambers of purity and impurity in Shemaim, and I channel myself. Now, if I channel myself to the chamber of purity, then the IV, what will drop, is purity. I channel myself to impurity, what will drop into my spiritual IV is impurity. Now, if I channel myself just to Kedusha, then I will get a positive thought. I know that this thought came from Hechalot Kedusha, from a chamber of purity. But if I now get an impure thought, doesn't matter right now what, if I stop it right away and say, wait, let me analyze what's going on here. First of all, if I stop it for the first second, 3 seconds, 4 seconds, then I can know. First of all, it's not my thought. It comes right now from a chamber of impurity. I mean, it's coming to distort my thought, to take me off my focus. Now, most people, they take this thought and they start analyzing and dissecting the thoughts. And then you start feeding the thought. And then you take this thought of impurity into you, and then it's already yours. It's in your system. Then it poisons you. The impure thought will constantly come to attack you. Now, if you stop it right on the spot and you analyze, where is this thought coming from? Why am I now upset at that person? Why am I now impatient? A child spilled a cup, and you're about to flip out. Just stop for 1 second and say, wait a minute. Why am I about to flip out? Because the cup went like that and a little bit of water went on the floor, so no problem, so I'll wipe it. If you psychoanalyze the thought where it's coming from, and you first of all you need to stop it, because the problem is that that's a very fine line when you don't stop the thought. And once you take this thought and you put it into your domain, then that's it. Now you have to control it, you have to deal with it. The thing is that if you stop the thought right away and you don't feed it, that's where you keep it out, that's where you have control. That's why I said before that this Gog Magog, this Milchemet Gigim, it's in your thoughts, it's all in your mind. All the thoughts that you have, you know, the sins that we do right now, that most Jews do in our generation, like you mentioned before, Hashem is already, no, the darkness of the Galut is so thick, it's like as if Hashem is like completely ignoring the bad things that we do. Now don't take my word and say, oh, Alon said I can now do whatever I want because Hashem is ignoring me. Don't. I'm just saying that the darkness of the exile is so thick that the power of the judgment against a chas v'shalom, a person that does something bad, is not that bad, because we're really walking in the dark here. But what Hashem really is particular is what's going on in my mind? How am I conducting the meeting that's going on in my mind? And this is this Milchemet Gigim, this is the war of thoughts, because why am I reacting a certain way? Stop for a second, take a deep breath and say, okay, why am I now about to be upset at my child that did some irrelevant thing that, who cares? Why am I bursting because some guy cut me in the street? And now I'm going to go out of my kli, I'm going to completely burst in anger, I'm going to curse, I'm going to drive now faster to scream at him. I'm only hurting myself here. Why? Because some other person did something. So the point is that you have to constantly control your thoughts. This is why it's called machshava zara. Zara is foreign, it's not even your thought. So the part of the cleaning of this chametz is when you meditate and you reflect on that and you understand, okay, why am I now feeling this feeling? Why am I now thinking this thought? And Hashem wants to see if you're accepting when things happen. And hold on one second. The point why it's happening, again, I told you, I don't have an answer. Only Hashem have answers. The only advice I can give you, your husband, anyone, is that this is to joke, to laugh, to joke at it, to look at it and to crack up. Everything you can psychoanalyze it in a negative way and in a positive way. Okay. When things like this happen to me and I have to mamash lachkor, what does the halacha permit me to do? I don't see it as a punishment from Hashem. I'm saying, wow, Hashem is giving me now the opportunity to really dissect the halacha here to know the maaseh asher yason. It's all the attitude how you look at things. The problem in our generation is that we look at things in a very bad attitude. You have to look at things in a good attitude. And when you look at things in a very good attitude, A, what you do is the anything that is negative right away pushes Hashem away. Chaos, anger pushes Hashem away. Hashem cannot dwell with a person that right now is in anger. Jealousy, animosity, hate, all these attributes, that it all goes under the same title, ego. Because if I don't have an ego, I don't get upset. Hashem cannot dwell in a person that has an ego. Hashem cannot dwell in a house that there's Yeshut in the house. Business, mind, anything. The point is to annul this Yeshut, then Hashem comes in. So if you accept everything that comes from Hashem, that's where you actually invite Hashem. When people complain when they're having problems, that's when they're not allowing Hashem to come in and intervene. A person wants a miracle. It's not about going to shul and praying and putting money in the charity box and running to the kotel and talking to the wall. You want a miracle, you got to make space for Hashem to come in. And Hashem says, you want me to come in? Accept me. Accept that right now this is happening to you because I did it. Accept it. Tevatel tatzmecha. Make yourself humble. So be'etzem emet, there's not mamash an answer. The point is just to accept that this is a nisayon. And it all depends how you're dealing with it. And if you're dealing with it the right way, then you got to check. You did it right. That's the point. You know, one of the biggest tests that Hashem likes testing people is Erech HaPaim. Erech HaPaim is in English, I think it's called forbearness, right? Forbearness is that you forgive a person that did something real bad to you, you still forgive that person and you understand that that person didn't do it. It's just a shaliach from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Erech HaPaim can come in many different forms. This is the ultimate test that Hashem pushes everybody's buttons to see how you deal with things. So a plata can go flying off the counter. You know, now Hashem wants to see who is going to get the yelling. Who's now going to get the mana. So everything ultimately comes, Hashem pulls he pushes all the right buttons to see how you lose your temper. This is the test. The point is that, the more you meditate and the more you refine yourself, that's what I was referring before with the klipot, the more you work on yourself, these tests are easy to handle. So comes a test like this, you start laughing, you're like, okay, nothing happened. But it's not easy.